the mic over to Don White, who's in the studio for his last show for 2009 of Anti-Psychiatry Radio. So first we're going to go to a quick little music break, and then Don White will be in the house. So thanks for tuning in. This is CKLN 88.1 FM.
To another 2A special Christmas, or I should say a holiday, because a lot of brothers and sisters do not celebrate Christmas. Celebrate Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and so forth, or whatever. So, happy holidays to everybody, and safe and empowering. Susie, thank you. That's Little Boxes by Malvina strikes home, I must admit, because she is singing against conformity, so we all don't have to be the same, which is what capitalism and psychiatry would like us to appear as. Tonight I'm dedicating this to a very good friend and a colleague and someone I look up to a lot for his work in the community, Gaytan Eru, who is a very well-known worker. Was until recently, unfortunately, until he was fired unjustly with Street Health. And Gaytan has been a big, big friend to people, hundreds and hundreds, maybe 1,000 people who are homeless, psychiatric survivors and others, people with disabilities. If there's an injustice going on, if there's an eviction going on, if there is anything that is oppressive or repressive in the community, Gaytan will be there to help people who are being victimized by the system, especially in Cabbage Town. So, Gaytan, if you're listening, this is a shout-out to you and your spirit and your fine work that keeps inspiring me. Many of us. So, as host of Anti-Psychiatry Radio on CKLN for this last broadcast of Anti-Psychiatry of the Year, I want to read a few things I wrote as a tribute to the late Harvey Alf Jackson, who very much was doing what you are doing, Gaytan, what he was doing before he died. Quite a few years ago. So I'm going to read some excerpts from something I wrote as a tribute to Alf. And as I read this, I keep thinking of you, Gaytan, and I hope our listeners will think about you as I read this. Much more than a volunteer or hero, Alf was a community lifeline, a fearless fighter and committed advocate for hundreds of poor, unemployed, homeless people and psychiatric survivors whose lives he respected and touched. For almost 40 years, Cabbage Town was his world. He couldn't and wouldn't leave it for anything or anybody, just as Gaytan wouldn't leave Cabbage Town, and he shouldn't be forced to. Unafraid and proud, Alf walked the streets of his turf, frequently at considerable risk. He was mugged at least once, took his share of sucker punches, but he never backed down. Alf gave of himself endlessly, and to so many, old homeless people, the disabled, or I should say people with disabilities, lonely pensioners, drinking to forget their pain, veterans like himself. He knew hundreds of people by name, and they knew and respected him and affectionately called him Jackson. Alf's spontaneous acts of compassion and generosity were legendary, from giving away his umbrella to a woman trudging soaked in a heavy downpour to letting homeless people store bags of possessions in his small bachelor apartment when shelters were full, and making sure so-called bag ladies, these are confused and alienated homeless women recently released from Queen Street Mental Health Center, the Clark Institute of Psychiatry, made it to caring, supportive places like Nellie's. He actually took men and women to safe places when he saw them on the street in pain or suffering. I should mention also he used to take people to Street Haven, which still exists, find women's place that helps to empower women in Cabbage Town. He always followed up. Alf didn't have to be reminded. One of his top priorities was visiting the sick, especially the veterans. He'd frequently drop in to cheer up four or five older wartime buddies each day at a different hospital. For a number of them, it was Alf who made their final funeral arrangements. Alf's Christmas dinners were something special. On Christmas Day, for at least 10 consecutive years, living in a small bachelor suite, he would lovingly cook a sumptuous turkey dinner in an old oven for over 30 people. Preparing the feast on Christmas Eve, he rarely slept. Christmas morning, he'd serve up big slabs of meat, lay them carefully on paper plates, scoop up mounds of mashed potatoes, which he'd lace with a large helping of his own special gravy, maybe throw in a spoonful of peas and add a huge dollop of cranberry sauce. "Give him lots of cranberry sauce, Don," Alf, the chef, would order. Then he'd tell me where to deliver this movable feast. "Take this to John in 306. This plate goes to Scotty in 706. This plate is for Mike in 409, and this to George in 905. Carefully holding plates laden with the delicious aromas, I'd walk to each designated room in the apartment building where lonely men and women with nowhere to go for Christmas eagerly awaited Alf's Christmas offering. What a treat to see their faces light up at the sight. He knew and brought these lonely, hungry people the real message of Christmas: giving with care, with spirit, with love. Alf once saved my life, and that's for sure. About a year before On Our Own, the first self-help group of psych survivors in Ontario, was born, I hadn't found a job for 2 years and was still trying to recover from the tragic death of my 9-year-old son, David, who died from cancer. I was suicidal. Alf offered to stay with me for several days. I accepted his spontaneous, loving, and life-saving support. Just by listening and being with me, Alf convinced me not to jump on the subway tracks, which was what I had planned. If he had not stayed with me, I would either have killed myself or ended up drugged or electroshocked after being labeled depressed or psychotic at the Clark or Queen Street. That's when Alf and I became soul brothers. A few days after Alf died, that was in 1997, I revisited his world, walked past All Saints Church, and headed for 310 Dundas Street East. That's where he used to live, the Denison Apartments. I see Alf standing on the northeast corner of Sherburn and Dundas. He greets me with a big, warm hug. "Good to see you, old friend. How you doing? Come on, let's have a talk with you. Just you and me." Yeah, I miss him, all right. And I miss a lot of other brothers and sisters who are not around, like Mr. Yu, Edmund Waihung Yu, who was shot down by the police in a deserted TTC bus, many of you will remember. February 20th, 1997 it was. I miss a lot more. And I just want to read this is a poem I wrote, which is dedicated to Norm Feltes, who is a very respected activist with OCAP. He was a university prof too, I believe. But although I did not know Norm Feltes well, I respected him. In 1999, Norm was arrested and briefly jailed after peacefully marching up Parliament Hill in Ottawa during another anti-poverty protest organized by OCAP. So this title of this is Walking Tall, Walking Tall. He was tall, of course, too, but he was tall in spirit, friends, just as Gaétan and other street workers who help people on the street are tall in my book, very tall and proud. I miss you, OCAP brother, freedom fighter. I miss you marching along Dundas, along College, up University. I see you talking tall like a towering oak tree on Parliament Hill, unafraid of riot cops dressed in fascist black, armed with clubs and guns and pepper spray, attacking and arresting you while I hear myself scream out, "No, not Norm." I hear you. I feel you comforting us. Imagine you saying, "Don't be afraid. Share my strength. Feel my spirit." Moving inside me, inside OCAP, as we stand up and fight back through my fears of injury and death, as I shout out hope for freedom, for respect, for dignity, for justice, for solidarity. As I try walking tall like you, for all of us, for OCAP, I know I feel you. You're with us in struggle and solidarity in Allen Gardens, in Queen's Park, and on Parliament Hill, in the street, everywhere, and always. Now we'll take a break and get back to you very soon, friends.
It is nice to lock the doorway. It is nice to go to jail. There are nicer ways to do it, but the nice ways always fail. It isn't nice, it isn't nice. You told us once, you told us twice, but if that is freedom's price, we don't mind. It is nice to carry them, or to sit in on the floor, or to shout out cry freedom at the hotel and the store. It isn't nice, it isn't nice. You told us once, you told us twice, but if that is freedom's price, we don't mind. We have tried negotiation, and the three-man picket line, Mr. Charlie didn't see us, and he might as well be blind. Now our ways are nice.
Yes. And Don White's coming back at you, host of Anti-Psychiatry Radio, 88.1 FM. The old CKLN, Revolutionary Red Radio, only one of its kind in Ontario and Canada, and probably the world. Anyway, part of Resistance Radio, eh, Susie? All right, I'm going to read some excerpts before I get into Electroshock, a victory on Electroshock, which I'm very proud to say there's a brother in the U.S. But right now, I just want to read from this poem that I wrote. I was so damn mad after the police riot in 2000 when we tried to tell the Tories to give us more housing for homeless people and stop their war against the poor, which is still going on, of course, under any government. So here it's Nameless Homeless. That's the title of my rant. I'll read you a few excerpts. I see you, I hear you, nameless homeless labeled. I see you wasted on another iron grate on Queen's Park, frozen in winter, heat struck in another Toronto heat wave, on another hard, lonely bench in another homeless, nameless park, surrounded by bullies in black. outside Metro United Church, hiding in a tent in Allen Gardens, harassed by Toronto's finest disordered cops in Darth Vader masks on horses, brutalized to scare and stomp, commanded by pit bull cops eager to attack, disturb, invade your peace, your rights, our world, for doing their job. To kick your ass, to serve and protect their ass. Hey, concerned Canadian, don't wait for another death this summer or winter. Don't wait for another body bag. Don't wait for another inquest. Don't wait for another lie. Don't wait for another whitewash. Don't wait for another murder committed by mental health assholes, by racist mentalist cops like the deadly beating they inflicted on Brother Otto Vaz. Near outside a 7-Eleven store on August 9th, 2000. They labeled him manic depressive, schizophrenic, but he was a troubled human being. Father of five, another murder, another cover-up committed against us, committed against the Otto Vazes, the Edmund Hughes, labeled nameless homeless, another murder committed against our human rights, another murder committed against our dignity. Another murder committed against our humanity. Listen up, concerned Canadians. We're not going to City Hall. We're not going to Metro Hall anymore. We're not going to go through your maddening dead-end forms and delays and benefits for your own good, for our own good. Huh. So we're going in the street, marching proud, singing loud. Marching proud, singing loud. In Miller's face, in McGuinty's face, in Harper's face, in Canada's damn face, in the RCMP's face, in the Toronto cop's face, in every goddamn face and place in Canada's face, we're marching proud, singing loud, we're shouting and loud, marching proud, goddamn loud and proud. Houses, not shelter. Housing is a damn human right. Housing now, no justice, no peace, we shout, we chant loud and strong and long, loud and strong and long in our hearts, in our souls. We're marching together loud and strong, up Yonge, along Queen, up Sherbourne, along Dundas, up Bay and University to Queen's Park, up Bank Street, up Parliament Hill. We're marching together, brothers and sisters, yes. Remember in the dirty 30s all over again, huh? We're riding the rails in boxcars across Canada, onto Ottawa. Our RCMP shot and killed us in Regina in 35, pepper sprayed us on Parliament Hill in 99, beat and charged us on June 15th, 2000 in Queen's Park. Damn it, we fought for our rights. The right to a job, the right to a home, the right to a name, the right to respect, the right to revolt. Yeah. We're fighting proud. My name is Edmund Y. Hung Yu. Tried like hell, died fighting fascist cops and shrinks, died fighting racist landlords. That's who I am. I'm your comrade, I'm your brother. Don't forget me, don't forget. We won't forget. Never. Well, I don't forget, and I hope you don't forget. The Edmund Y. Hung Yus and Jeffrey James, who died in restraints at CAMH, Center for Addiction and Mental Health, which is one of the worst psycho prisons in Canada. And let's not forget our brothers who are fighting, struggling to stop electroshock. And you know I've talked about this many times, and I will keep talking about it because one of the worst psychiatric atrocities that costs millions of taxpayers money that's used to fry people's brains, particularly women, particularly elderly women. And you know I've already talked about the stats, so I'm not going to bore you with that. But I am going to say we have a victory, friends. I'm very proud to say this, particularly on the last day of the year of this broadcasting, well, of the last broadcast. I mentioned some time ago Ray Sanford, a 40-some-year-old brother whom I never met, but I wish I had. He kept saying, I don't want shock. I don't want electroshock. He was under the so-called beneficial control of a guardian, a church guardian in Minnesota. So for less than 6 months, they gave him 40-some electroshocks, which always caused some memory loss and brain damage. And it's permanent, as many of you know. So he fought back and reached out to David Oakes and others in Mind Freedom International. That's an international coalition of 14 groups and 100, over 100 human rights groups in 14 countries, thanks to David Oakes, and who helped organize an international campaign to stop this brother from being shocked. And it was successful. In April of this year, they finally stopped. Get this, he was on the gurney about to get another shock, and his shrink, the shock doctor, suddenly says, oh, it's been postponed, so there's no shock treatment. He was already in the shock room. But that's because of pressure from the public, and I'm proud to say some of us here in Canada who wrote out, spoke out in favor of a brother and said, what you're doing is brutal. It's still going on, friends. But at least we saved a brother, in a way. I must say that. So we can be proud of saving a brother. And, of course, there are many more sisters that are being shocked. So we'll talk more about that in future programs. But I want you to know that I want to say special thanks to you, Ray, if you're listening, and to David Oakes, who is a powerful, empowering voice for psychiatric survivors, and then from Mind Freedom. Now, in the time we have, I think I have enough time, right? I just want to say that, get this, I'm going to read at some other point the CAPA statement that was sent to the Food and Drug Administration that wants to classify these engines of destruction known as shock machines, ECT machines, as low risk. Low risk. The hell they're low risk. They are high risk. So apparently the Food and Drug Administration in the States, which is like our Health Canada, which is a so-called regulatory body, wants to call them safe without having tested. That's right. They've never tested shock machines for their medical safety or effectiveness, medical safety in the U.S. or Canada. So at some point, I'm going to read what we wrote about these and sent to the Food and Drug Administration. And I urge people, if you feel like writing, and I do have somewhere, if I can find it, yes. If you want to speak out and tell the FDA to stop their lies about reclassifying shock machines as safe, send it to Food and Drug Administration. If you have a pen and paper, dockets in Management Branch H, capital H, F for Frank, A for Alpha, hyphen 305, 5630 Fishers Lane, Fishers Lane, room 1061, 1061, Rockville, Maryland, and that's postal code 20852, and this is very important, the docket number, that's FDA, hyphen 2009, hyphen N for Norman, hyphen 0392. Okay, now we can play, so that's it for now, friends, about electroshock. I'll say more. We have an important fundraising event coming up, friends, that CAPA and other groups are organizing. We are organizing a Psych Out, the first international organization about organizing resistance against psychiatry. It's called Psych Out. And a fundraising event is coming up very soon. And as a matter of fact, in, let's see, 3 weeks. And we really hope, and I'll say more about this, but Susie, would you play this tape? Because three people on the committee who identify themselves. Yeah, we'll be talking about this fundraising event. Okay, so let's hear that tape. So, Susie.
Don White, your proud anti-psychiatry host on CKLN, word of mouth. Now, this is a special announcement, friends, I'm making for a special fundraising event, which I'll let some of my guests talk about, called Psych Art for Psych Out. Fundraising event for an international conference coming up in May. I know it's early, but you can't start too early for a fundraising because we don't have much money at all to put this on. This is an international event, Psych Out, to a conference for the purpose of organizing resistance against psychiatry. And my guests tonight are Ilona Abramovich and Moran Millman, and I hope Mel Starkman. Do you want to start, Ilona?
Sure.
Tell us about this fundraising event and why you got involved.
All right. Well, we invite you to come and have a fun night with us of art, music, and fundraising on January 15th at the Trinity St. Paul at 427 Bloor Street West from 7 to 10 p.m. We are going to have a really great night full of entertainment and art. We're going to have some artists such as Faith Nolan, Roger Ellis, Bill Urich, Bob Rose, Eric Fabris.
Yeah.
And we're also going to have art for sale.
Oh, that's art. Could you sort of explain that a bit?
The art.
About
so
the
we're going to have some visual art, some really fantastic, phenomenal paintings and drawings and sketches for sale for those who like to have original pieces, one of a kind.
Great. Moran, you want to say something about your involvement with this and why you got in and why you got involved?
Well, I got involved being part of the Psych Out conference organizing committee, and I think it's a very important cause, and we really need to raise some funds to put the conference on. And I think it's going to be a very exciting night because we have really fun entertainers, and we're going to have some really nice visual art for sale, and this is all going to go for a very good cause, which is a conference that will bring awareness and bring forward the efforts of people throughout the years in organizing resistance against psychiatry, and also which will also be followed by a rally and a peaceful protest at Queen's Park to end
that's in May though,
ECT
right.
And these two are in May, that's right.
Yeah.
But the night of fundraising is on, again, January 15th at the Trinity St. Paul Church at 427 Bloor from 7 to 10.
And what would be the admission? Is there an admission charge? Or
yes, admission is $10, but we do understand that some people are unemployed in this current economy,
yeah.
So we will give people the option of paying $5 as well. And there are going to be some refreshments as well. And, yep.
And we hope some great art.
Oh, and we know for sure that there's going to be some great art by some established artists and upcoming artists, some very talented artists. And this is you know, everyone's chance to get their hand on some really nice pieces of art.
Great, thank you. And Mel, you want to say something about the psych art and why you got involved?
Well, I got involved at this time because I saw historically that the anti-psychiatry movement, which had been sexy in the 70s and 80s, was beginning to rise again. And And this may be, this made an old heart feel
rising,
very good.
Rising like Phoenix rising. No.
Anyways, it's going to reach a critical point in May of this year. What the exact dates are, Don, I don't remember.
Yes, it's already been announced. You mean about the conference?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I announced that, or somebody else did. May 7th and 8th.
Mm-hmm.
May 7th and 8th, we're fundraising for the Psych Out Conference next May.
Yeah, and I think what is important to emphasize is that in the period when we were down, we anti-psychiatry activists, biological psychiatry got stronger and stronger until now it predominates the field to such an extent that a lot of people are being injured. And those people that are being injured, we have to both have participating with us and advocating for them.
What do you expect, or what are your hopes for the fundraiser?
I think it'll be
fundraiser.
I'm hoping if 100 people show up, I will smile. But if 250 to 500 people show up, I will be overjoyed.
Okay. Many, many thanks for all of you. Mel Starkman, Moran Milman, and Ilona Abramovich, key people, and that, and also I'm involved on the fundraising committee, the Psych Out Fundraising Committee. Thank you very much, and I hope many of you come. No, was one thing. If people want more information, if they have any, if they have a computer or whatever, how do they get in touch? Who should... Well, you want to say the email address, or also if people have art to donate, what should what, who should they get in
they
touch
email
with?
Email us at psychout.art@gmail.com.
Wait,
and that would, that would be perfect.
Okay, you want to say that again?
Psychout, psychout.art@gmail.com.
Right, and so that's sufficient, right?
Yes.
That's to get in touch for more information.
For an old timer, all you got to do is Google Psych Out Conference, and that'll come. That'll get you to the right destination. You don't have to be so modern these days.
Yes. Yes. Okay, friends, thank you very, very much. And that is your Psych Out info, Psych Art for Psych Out. And stay tuned for more information on Anti-Psychiatry Radio.
Okay, that was the fundraising committee for Psych Out for Psych Art for Psych Out of Friends. Yeah, thank you, so Susie, for playing that tape. We do need lots of art to sell so we can raise some money for the Psych Out Conference coming up in May 7th and 8th, the first international one to organize resistance against psychiatry. That is it. I'll say more about it in 2 weeks' time. And I hope to have some guests here in the studio. A special shout-out and thanks to you, so Susie and Mark. And stay tuned, friends, for Maria Lena Escobar in Ventana Barrios. And so take care, and I hope a lot of good things happen to people, a lot of good stuff, and in a psychiatry-free new year. Stay well. We'll be in touch in a couple more weeks. Okay, you're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM Revolutionary Radio. Take care, everybody. Stay safe.